better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining our door.
Come over here, kid. What is up? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. Wasn't today gorgeous? The whole last few days, I think it was Wednesday, where I was listening to the, some news, and it was like, well, we're in for another heat wave. It's going to be 85, and it might get into the 90s for the weekend. And I'm there, oh, God, I have to go buy iceberg lettuce again and hide. And there was those lovely days Thursday and Friday, certainly in West County. It stayed foggy and cool, and today was so gorgeous at this Bastopol Farmer's Market. The sun was gentle. It was a perfect 66. You just can't ask for better weather than that, I think. As you probably know, I'm no sun bunny, but I do like these pretty soft days of, really mid-spring, late spring. Lots of events going on. Was it Carneros Heritage Festival yesterday? The Maker Fair down in San Mateo going on yesterday and today. I know a lot of people who went to that. And then coming up next Friday, which is 2 days after little Lucas's 8th birthday. Happy birthday, Lucas. We have another event on the little wonderful part of Santa Rosa that I so love, the South A Street. This is Vine Art, where galleries, wineries, restaurants and artists get together for your pleasure and their fun. So I have three people, Mary Linnea Vaughn. I think, what is this, your third visit or your fourth visit to Mouthful?
Number three, Michelle.
Okay, welcome back.
Thank you.
We also have Brent. Oh, and it starts with an L, not Lindsay. Lindsay? Mm-hmm. Brent Lindsay, I did it. From the Imaginist Theater Collective.
Yes.
And then we have also returning to Mouthful, we have Brian Anderson of the really yummy and pretty Bistro 29 on the other edge of downtown Santa Rosa. So y'all are involved in Vine Art. And Mary, I just have a feeling you're one of the people behind making this happen.
Only one of them. It takes a lot of different people coming together to make these things happen. And I don't know, somehow we stumble through them and make them happen. But we're looking forward to Friday for sure.
Now, how have the events, I think the last time you were on, first of all, I think you'd driven straight from Nebraska here, and it was like the day before, a few days before, another event. If you can remember, call to mind that particular event, how was it?
Are you talking about on A Street, you mean?
Yeah, the ones on, yeah, there have been other events.
There have been,
and are they well attended?
They are. The two that seem to be the ones the public like the best are the one in the fall called Winter Blast, which is a very unique, sort of rare one that happens the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And now Vine Art is becoming the one that's better attended because, of course, more is put into it and a lot more promotion happens. But generally, these artists kind of get together. We set a few dates, and we try to have open-door studios time together. And the event you were talking about was one that we sort of came up with called High Art, High Tea. And then the studios can kind of, and the artists can kind of, you know, gear it up any way they want to around that theme.
Yeah, and you set up that little tea house there.
Mario Uribe actually took that theme, and of course he's well known for his contemporary circles and his meditative drawings, and he built an entire tea house, a Japanese tea house, for that event. And I'm sorry to say I missed it, but I still hear people talking about it.
So Brian, how are you going to be involved?
I'll be serving some food to go with
Sunsei
Winery at Brent's venue.
Oh, Brent, okay. And what's going to be going on? What's the Imaginist Theater Collective?
Yeah, the Imaginist Theater Collective. We do theater. We educate kids in theater. And
oh, you educate kids?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Two education programs, teens and younger.
They're in the
studio
area.
Yes, yep,
really,
absolutely, and it's all original theater and original adaptation. So, as you know, unlike a lot of other theater companies that train kids as actors, we train them to be creators. So you know, they work as an ensemble; they create together. So it's a lot more life building skills and building courage. You know, in your creative voice.
What age kids do you work with?
Eight up. So all the way through adults, and that's what we do in our adult theater too. It's ensemble based. There's no hierarchy. So we actually align it to slow food, where you know we think a lot of theater is falling into the fast food arena. We call ourselves slow
theater.
That's right.
Now I know that you've worked with at least one winery up at
Duchamp.
Exactly. Yep. Thank you. Duchamp, the Slaughterhouse Performance Area.
And we've worked with Bella on numerous occasions.
What sort of things have you done at wineries?
Well, you know, Bella, we used to do a huge family festival, which got to be too big. And, you know, things start to shut down when things get too big. So it was very successful. And at Duchamp, we did a Slaughterhouse Performance, a site-specific performance of Hamlet. We called it Ghost Machine. It was a one-man version of Hamlet going through his death spell. So, and that's what we did out there, thanks to the lenses. That was great.
It sounded really interesting when I read about it, and I saw some photographs from it on the Duchamp website.
You know, we just try to keep it experimental and modern and push the boundaries of theater. That's what we're about.
So what will you be doing for Vine Art?
Well, first of all, we host The Artery, which is part of Art Start, and it's the Art Start Gallery. So we have... that evening we have Alejandro and Chandra, and I'm not sure the last names.
Chandra Woodworth and Alejandro Salazar are going to come together, a professional-based artist with an alum of Art Start who's now a working artist. That's a whole other topic, Michelle, but certainly we're so grateful. I actually work with the Art Start program also, and I'm so grateful to Brent and Amy for allowing our young teen artists that are just so talented to be able to show their work there during the year through the theater. And then during Vine Art, we'll have an alum of Art Start, Chandra Woodworth, who's probably 24 now, with Alejandro Salazar, giant, giant photographs of portraits. And that's all I can say right now, except for I know that Chandra was trying to find a tattoo salon about a month ago because they were looking for very provocative shots of painted images on the skin. So who knows what those are going to look like, but I think it's going to be a very interesting venue for art that night as well, with Bistro 29 there, a French bistro, this beautiful contemporary theater. And by the way, I have to plug Brent a little bit more. I cannot tell you how that contemporary based theater has changed our block, how excited we are to have them down there. They are so innovative, so inventive, so modern that they just really even make the artists kind of rise to the level of a little bit more cutting-edge types of thinking down there. So I just am thrilled to have them there.
It's great to have something like this in Sonoma County.
Well, it's total mutual respect. I mean, we fit right in, right? When we were looking at the building, I think I just accidentally met Mary and saw this artwork, and it was just like, okay, it's home. I mean, it was right away. So, and just to tag on to what we were talking about, in our half of the space, we're going to hang all of our bicycles. We're building bicycles for a summer tour. We got a grant from Theater Bay Area, one of five companies that were picked out of 46. All the others were in San Francisco and Oakland. We were the only Santa Rosa-based theater company to get it. And so what we're doing, we designed a puppet touring show that will go on tour all on bicycle. So we're, and it'll be bilingual. So we're thinking about the environment. We're thinking about the other half of our community, and we're taking to the streets, and we're going to see the people in the parks and Day Labor Center. So we're going to hang all our bikes and have literature there for people to see.
Cool. And congratulations on the grant.
Thank you.
That's really great. So before we leave, what's happening at the Imaginative Collective, do you know what food, Brian, you're going to be? Do you know yet?
I think I have an idea.
Okay, because I don't want to put a chef on the spot. It's like, I'll know 2 hours before. I'll know the night before.
That's usually how it works. But this time, I think I have a good idea. I'm going to do a gruyere, which is like a profiterole. It's going to be with a little goat cheese and chives inside of it. And how it's going to be, you know, standard, typical gruyere. If anybody knows what that is.
Mm-hmm. It's like a little it's like a savory cream puff in a way.
Yeah, exactly. We'll make it with a little bit of gruyere inside of the cream puff itself, and then have, you know, fill it with some, probably a mix of fromage blanc, chev, and chives. It's a little mouthful, but go nice with wine.
If you have had those before, if you know what Brian's talking about, your mouth is probably watering right about now, as mine is.
I hope you're bringing a lot.
I will be.
Anything else? Or is gonna do that?
I think that's for now. I think we might work on some other things, too, but that'll be the primary.
Okay, well, before the end of the show, we're also going to talk about What's Up at Bistro 29 and talk a little bit more about, you know, the full menu. Do you know what Wine Sensei is going to be serving?
I do not. I haven't contacted them yet, but that would probably be a wise choice.
They've been on Mouthful before. A couple times, I think. Once a long time ago in the early days, and then once maybe a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
And so this is all taking place. Let's talk about how it works. Mm-hmm. It's taking place Friday, June 5th, 5 to 8 p.m. $10 gets you a tasting class and your food and the food pairings. Then people walk around.
Yeah, you know, this kind of started a couple of years ago, and of course we open our doors all on the same date. It's grown and grown. We did this once last year, and what basically is going to happen is you have two blue tent stations, and you come on down to A Street, and by the way, parking will probably be a nightmare, so we're encouraging people to park a little bit away from the block and then walk in, maybe over at the mall and walk in, over behind Juilliard Park and walk in. You'll locate two blue stations, and that's where you buy your logo glass with our logo on it. Now we sound so professional together. Boy, for
really,
artists, that's
have, like,
pretty good.
Stations and everything.
Yeah. And for $10, you get to roam the block and see the art and go from venue to venue, and that's sort of the way it works. It's only 3 hours long and finished by 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So it's from 5 to 8 o'clock while there's still light, and that's kind of how we've set it up, how it works.
Mm-hmm. And what are you going to be doing at your studio?
Well, I'm very excited because I do have a new little body of work that's very whimsical. It's all on old vintage game boards, and I'm really excited about showing those pieces. But there are three other artists in my studio. There'll be Barbara Elliott, who shows these wild, wonderful
Barbara
photographs.
Barbara Elliott is so wonderful.
Of dolls and
she does too. She does extremely interesting things to dolls.
Yeah. I've always yes, she does. She's very unusual. And
you know, I met her
amazing.
When she took a cooking class I was teaching.
That's right.
It was partly a cooking class. It was a cook's tour of Sonoma, a class I teach now and then at the JC. Yeah. And we do a lot of field trips. And I remember many times sitting around a table dying of laughter because she is so hilarious.
Oh, she is. And she's a close friend of mine, and she is a very good cook, by the way. And then there's also another abstract painter, Jen Hirschfield, in the gallery. And she does very kind of built-up layers of paint on her canvases that are really gritty and delightful. And then we have a new jeweler who will be in our gallery. Her name is Monica Jacobson. And we've sort of moved our little gallery around, so now we're in the front space, and we're kind of launching our new little configuration that night. We'll also have the Electric Avenue in our back courtyard.
Oh, that's right. I saw that name, and it made me think of the Eddie Grant song, but I don't know the band.
Yeah, and all I've been told is Rachel's the lead singer, and the music is very danceable.
Cool.
And then Jay Solee, they're good friends of mine. Jesse Wurzel and his wife Judy are going to host the wine in our venue. And Pam Posch will be with us.
Who's going to host the wine? Who's gonna be doing?
Jesse Wurzel, who has Jay Solee.
It's a delicious
wine, and we go dog walking together. So I said, Jesse, come on, be in my venue. And he said, sure. So I love their wine. And So we'll be busy, and every venue is like that. There should be a food.
And about how many venues total?
There will be 6 wineries and probably 8 food sponsors.
Uh-huh. And how many galleries involved?
There are 5 venues.
Okay.
And probably 12 artists.
12 showing. Artists. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's coming up on Friday night.
Marie-Lou repose sous la mer. Et je me dis, et je me redis, de tous ces dessins d'enfants que n'ai-je pu préserver la fraîcheur de l'inédit. De ma loupe en bande dessinée, je parcourait les bulles arrondies. Lorsque je me vis exclu de ces jeux.
You're listening to Mouthful. We are talking about Vine Art. A fun time next Friday night down in the South A Art District, right there by Juilliard Park. A really great part of Santa Rosa. That part feels good. It feels urban in just the best possible way. So I'm looking at some of the other people. So, Mary, you said mm-hmm. you have Pem Posh. Are they the ones out? Are they near Mission and 4th Street?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. I hear such good things about them. I haven't had a chance to get there yet.
Well, last year they were in our venue, and by 6:30 the line came all the way from the back of our studio out to the sidewalk. And they ran back to the restaurant, I think, maybe 3 or 4 times, trying to cater to the people. So they're a little bit... I think they'll probably be a little more prepared this year. We didn't know what to expect either, and I just couldn't believe the number of people who came.
So. Yeah, it is.
But
that's
delicious
sort of thing. You just
food,
open your doors.
Delicious. Yeah,
and
we're
it's
really,
unpredictable.
Yep.
And you also have the marvelous Dirk's Parkside Cafe.
Mm.
Mark Dirkhuizen is such a treasure, and that restaurant is such a treasure.
He really is.
Yeah,
yes.
And I think everyone who's ever walked in there is so grateful for him. For taking that location. Mm-hmm. I just think it's great, and transforming it. Mm-hmm. We also got the Meat Buying Club. I love the Meat Buying Club. Marisa Gugiana has been on Mouthful a couple of times at least. Mm-hmm. Do you know what they're going to be doing?
I have no idea what they're serving, but there's going to be a very hip moment happening down that alleyway, the middle of the alleyway. You got to go down there, because not only is Mark Dirk's going to be positioned, so all he has to do is say, when they ask him, where's your cafe? All he has to do is say, right down that way, down the alley. We've got him positioned just so he can, like, you know, thumb backwards, and there you are. And then, of course, Sonoma Buying Meats is back there, too, with a band. All of that. There's just going to be a cluster of really happening food and wine in that back little courtyard.
Mm-hmm. Ruthie's Real Meals.
She's going to be there?
Yeah, that's Ruth Lefkowitz.
Exactly.
Who was a volunteer here at KRCB.
Oh, really?
She was a volunteer, and she met the man that she would marry, who was also and is still a volunteer here. So you never know what might happen at KRCB. And also Sonoma Chocolatiers.
Oh, what do we say? We're excited. I mean, Rich.
And Seed, which went in where Cafe St. Rose was.
Seed, like Brent moved in. We're so happy to have Seed there with Jerry Hasty. She's just done a beautiful job in that little venue. It's very modern, very clean, and the food is just so, it's like eating art when you go over there. I mean, you sit down and it's just so beautifully prepared. And she's going to have organic wines. I don't know the names of them, but mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, you know, organic wine used to be, if you put the word organic in front of wine, mm-hmm. you guaranteed your sales would plummet. It was like that for a long time, mm-hmm. and that slowly started to reverse, particularly when Davis Bynum started announcing organic on their label. Mm-hmm. God, that was at least 10, maybe even 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And slowly now that's really turned around, and there are great mm-hmm. organic wines, and it's now a positive thing mm-hmm. to associate. Mm-hmm. So that's been a really nice mm-hmm. change to watch.
Mm-hmm. And they're just next door to Brent here with the mm-hmm. Imaginist too. So you can just stop into Bistro 29 and right out the door to the left will be Seed. So, you know, everything's close together.
Now, is this in part a benefit? I could be totally wrong, so, you know, feel free to slap me if I'm But is this in part a benefit for Art Start? Or are they just close together
in something?
No,
that's completely separate. You should have us on just to talk about that. Okay. We'll whoop up some food images for you or something so you can talk about Art Start.
We can mention that too.
Well,
we've got another 35 minutes.
Oh, that's great. That'd be wonderful. We are very, very excited about the fish that went in down on Sonoma. And
so, if you're driving on Santa Rosa Avenue headed towards downtown, mm-hmm. there's this little park, mm-hmm. and right there's just this mm-hmm. gorgeous fish mm-hmm. leaping up into the air.
It's the entrance to the Prince Greenway, and that, as you know, has been going on for several years. It's like a 10-year project, and now we're starting to be seen down there because Mario Uribe with Daniel Alberti had started that project 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. It came to culmination finally. We've been working on that fish every summer with Art Start. And
so working specifically on that fish.
Yeah, that was just an amazing thing for those of you who know the property. I mean, the nose of that fish stuck out over our art house all summer last summer, and everybody would stop and wonder what that was. And it was finally installed last spring. And that kind of marks the sort of gateway also mm-hmm. to the A Street Arts District, too. Whether mm-hmm. Mario had that in mind, I don't know. But it certainly begins that little area by Juilliard Park. And then I felt very strongly that if we're teaching these young people about commissions and public-based art, we're also teaching them what professionals do to make a living making their art. And, you know, I show my work and... Although they have incredibly strong art departments sometimes in these high schools, I wanted a venue for young artists to really professionally show their work. Mm-hmm. And I walked by Imaginus when they were redoing their theater and thought, my gosh, that would be a beautiful – they have the best windows on South A Street. And after meeting with them and talking it through, it ultimately happened. And the name The Artery was actually given by an apprentice. I took a poll on what they would call a gallery if they mm-hmm. had a gallery of their own. And one of the girls said, how about The Artery? So we capitalized A-R-T and mm-hmm. E-R-Y is lowercase. And the Imaginists were good enough to host that gallery. And it's just on floating walls. So that's how Art Start is now connected to the A Street, uh-huh. South A area. And the property is only three blocks from there. And we actually mm-hmm. start that program on June 15th. It's mm-hmm. coming up
in
2 weeks.
Oh, that's why I had them mm-hmm. in my head, because
right.
you're working on both
yes,
of them.
Yes, exactly.
Now, does Art Start and the art chairs... Are those connected?
They sure are.
Okay.
During our fall fundraiser is September 12th this year, and we have professional artists and young apprentices doing these dynamic chairs. They're beautiful chairs that we sell at our auction mm-hmm. along with many other items that we do this summer to raise money for our nonprofit so we can continue and move on and do public art in Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that's coming up. And have you ever been to that chair auction, Michelle?
I have not. I've sent so many
people. You're
coming this
year. You've got to come.
I've sent dozens of people there, and I've seen a lot of the chairs here and there. I think it's wonderful. Yeah. Of course, I always look at them, and I think, I want to do a chair.
I think you should, Michelle.
I think it's a delightful thing.
I always do one every year. I enjoy it. This year, we have Michael Coy, a very strong painter, working with Art Start. He'll be doing a chair. At least I'm going to twist his arm to do one. Mm-hmm. And Fred Vetter, who's also another artist that'll be joining us this summer, he'll do one. So these are really great. Daniel Berti used to do them too. Mm-hmm. Big globes on the bottom of this IKEA chair that everybody was given. And anyway, bless you, Daniel.
It's just such a great thing to not only have art in the center of a town, and I say the more the better, but to connect kids to it, and then to also bring in eating and drinking. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think eating, drinking, and art are three of the most important things that humans can do, mm-hmm. other than loving each other. Mm-hmm. Loving each other, and you sort of got it.
I agree. They're all the same thing. They're all art, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it has to do with our health, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Whether it's mental or mm-hmm. nutrition, or it's very healthy stuff.
Mm-hmm. How has this all been received by the other people there in the South A Street District? Is this a good thing from their point of view, or is there even such a thing as consensus?
Well, you know, everybody has an opinion, and there's lots of diverse personality floating around, especially with artists. But I think in general, I think if there's one thing to be said. I think we're all very, very happy that we have a cluster on the block, and it's a place that artists can get together and talk, and it's just, I just feel it's such a rare experience, just having artists surrounding in one spot. So I, you know, we all kind of stumble through these things and try to make them happen. None of us are great organizers or coordinators, but somehow we get through them. But on the whole, I think everybody's very upbeat and positive mm-hmm. about that block. And it's just such a rare place.
Yeah, I have to add, I grew up here. So for me, I know what it is to not have a block like that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to Absolutely. Escape Santa Rosa as fast
yeah,
as I could.
Sure.
And so to come back, you know, part of my personal mission was to make this a place for artists to want to come back to. I mean, I would love to see this place not just be a breeding ground to go out to Portland or other cities. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I'd love to see Santa Rosa kind of get on the cultural map. And I think South A is absolutely the tremendous, good, mm-hmm. you know, a great step. It's
yeah,
amazing.
I think so too.
And unfortunately, Michelle, some of you may have heard, you know, that the A Street Studios and Becoming Independent, the new gallery See in Heaven, that building was shut down
right.
a month ago. And so the very core of this block, that's really, they were the crucial in
they
starting
were doing
the whole
so
thing.
Much, yes.
That building is now empty, but there's a big sign in the window that says, "We shall return."
So do we know what's going to happen?
I don't exactly, but I know that everybody's kind of working on it, and I'm hoping that they can return.
Sur ma Remington portative, j'écris ton nom, Laetitia. L-A-E dans la T-I-T-I-A. Laetitia, les jours qui se suivent, hélas, ne se ressemblent pas. L-A-E dans la T-I-T-I-A. C'est ma douleur que je cultive en frappant ces huit lettres-là. L-A-E dans la T-I-T-I-A. C'est une fleur bien maladive, je la touche du bout des doigts. L-A-E dans la T-I-T-I-A. S'il faut aller.
One thing I love about your adventure in becoming a chef and restaurateur, Brian, is when you were telling me that you were in France to study cycling, but that you like to take too many breaks to eat the good food.
Yeah, that
I
was
love that.
Always a problem with me.
Uh-huh. So you did
is.
Go to France. I know that you studied French in Santa Rosa High.
In Piner High School.
Piner High,
I took
okay.
it for 2 years and went to France and 2 years of high school French really wasn't enough when I got there. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I met my wife to help me study French at the beginning, and that was that was another downfall to my uh-huh. cycling career.
And she's from
not a downfall. Sorry,
from Brittany.
Yeah, she's from the 29th department, mm-hmm. Which is Finistère, which is the name of our restaurant is named Bistro 29 after that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a homage, if you will, to my wife and her family.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the food a little bit.
Well, we always say it's traditional bistro food with a Breton flair. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the food that you find in Brittany, like artichokes, cauliflower, seafood, a lot of the different things that you could find in Brittany, we try to incorporate into our menu too, because it's things you could find in California or Northern California in particular.
Mm-hmm. That's the Brittany is the land of salted butter.
Yeah.
Cider.
Yeah, cider. It goes with the crepes, uh-huh. buckwheat crepes.
Buckwheat crepes.
Yeah, crepes in general are
crepes, yeah.
originated from mm-hmm. that area. So if you're outside of Brittany and you come to, into Brittany and you say, "Oh, I had these great crepes in Paris," the Bretons will say, "No, you didn't. Those aren't true, because if they weren't made with buckwheat and they're savory, they're not the true thing."
Yeah, you if know? You have a crepe. And I always have crepes if I'm in Paris, and it has been way too long since I've been to France. I was just talking about that last night. Way, way too long. I do eat crepes in Paris, but they are nothing like Breton crepes,
no.
and they have a totally different texture.
Well, it has to do with everything. It has to do with like you said, the butter, the mm-hmm. water, everything. Mm-hmm. You know, they use buckwheat. They use
and buckwheat has a much different. Not just a different taste. It has a darker taste, but it also has a darker feel on your palate. It has that earthy
yeah, real earthy taste, and it kind of, I think it even gives you that picture in your mind of, you know, where it's coming from when you eat it, mm-hmm. and that kind of a thing.
So you have one crepe that I want you to describe. It's filled, it has an egg inside
of
it.
Oh, the complete, which is the most traditional crepe you find in Paris, or no, in Paris, oh my God, in Brittany. And it's ham, egg, and cheese. And it's usually it's served sunny side up, if you will. It's kind of the white spread out throughout the crepe, and then some Gruyere cheese and ham, and it's folded mm-hmm. into a nice big square, and kind of break the yolk and mm-hmm. spread it all over. And it's the best mm-hmm. the best crepe.
As you know, it's gotten really popular lately, say at Rosso. Also, the pizzeria, putting an egg in the center of the pizza and putting it back in the oven for maybe 90 seconds. So that's gotten really, really popular.
Well, they do that in France also.
Yeah. But finally, you can do it here and not have somebody say, you dropped an egg on my pizza.
Well, I've made a salad Lyonnaise before, you know, with the poached egg on top. And poached egg with the salad? But, you know, then they eat it and they usually enjoy it.
I had that for dinner 2 weeks ago when I left Mouthful. That is one of my favorite things, as salad Lyonnaise.
Yeah.
There are few things are as good as that. Your crepes are probably one of them. You're doing something special with crepes on Friday afternoons. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, well, actually, we just reorganized our menu a little bit, so mm-hmm. we actually put a lot more crepes on our menu than what we
had
before.
Oh, good, good.
Before, we just basically had about four crepes to choose from, mm-hmm. and they were preset. Now we have some suggested crepes, which are still same idea, some mm-hmm. Fillings, but then below that we have a list of fillings, so it's kind of like a build your own crepe, like kind of like you would for pizza, mm-hmm. or like you do in Brittany. You come into a creperie, you look at it, you could kind of put your own fillings in there, order one, wait, see if you're hungry, you want another one, and order something different. Mm-hmm. Same goes with the dessert crepes, mm-hmm. but what we're doing on Friday is we're doing 4 to 6 on Friday mm-hmm. afternoon, evening, I guess you want to call it. We're doing a happy hour. And we'll have a special menu for that with about 4 or 5 crepes on that. Mm-hmm. $5 crepes, $10 off any bottle of wine, mm-hmm. 750 milliliter bottle. And we have a few other things like the panis frites, which are the chickpea fries, uh-huh. The regular fries, that kind of thing. So that's from 4 to 6, but mm-hmm. then at 5 o'clock you could order off our regular
off the menu.
Menu
oh, but that
also
continues from 4 to 6. And what sort of response are you getting to that?
It's been kind of slow coming. It's
slow for everyone, or just about everyone. And one of the reasons I wanted you to talk about this is, you know, this time with this downturn in the economy, it really seems that we are all in it together. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things a lot of people are doing is staying home and cooking. Which is great.
Yeah.
But a lot of people who are staying home are worried about the restaurants they love.
Yeah.
I hear that all the time, and people are just they're scared about money. And so it's nice to know that there are little things that can still come to the places they want to support.
Well, I think that's the thing that we're trying to do, is trying to lower the price per person mm-hmm. as they come out. So giving these options with the crepes, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. somebody could come and spend as little as, you know, $10 for a crepe. Mm-hmm. And if they want a glass of wine or whatever mm-hmm. with it, or they could come in and get a crepe, an entree, a dessert, mm-hmm. salad if they want, on mm-hmm. top of that if they're really hungry, and they could spend up to whatever they want. Mm-hmm. But this allows, you know, somebody to come in and say, hey, I just want to go in and have a glass of wine, a crepe, you know, $17-$18 later, they're out the door.
If you're doing the 4 to 6 happy hour, you have a crepe, a glass of wine, and then you go home and maybe you have a lighter dinner.
Yeah, salad.
You've been out and you've been so you make your own salad Lyonnaise, or you've had that socializing, mm-hmm. And you don't have to reserve it for those special occasions when you still feel comfortable.
And we're trying to do the same thing on Tuesday through Thursdays. We do a $29. 3-course plus a mousse-bouche prefix menu. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, usually we start off with like either a small little, you know, a mousse-bouche, a bite mouthful of something, mm-hmm. if you will, or a shot of soup and that kind of thing. And then we go on to have
a shot of soup. For some people, you're going to have to explain that.
Yeah, we do a little,
I get it.
Little shot glass with like, you know, like last week, for example, we did a shot of tomato soup, you know, mm-hmm. and it was just a creamy tomato soup that it was, you know, couple sips worth, but mm-hmm. it's kind of a nice little starter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know who used to do something along those lines? Jackie Martin. Did you ever get a chance to go to Seaweed Cafe?
No.
They've closed now. They were in Bodega Bay. And Jackie was a guest on Mouthful at least twice. Jackie's from Paris. And she is a character. Carrot red hair and this lime, you can tell we got along immediately. A lime green chef's coat and this fabulous French accent. And absolute classic French skills. But also, she's also an artist. She paints. And she is also a writer. And so her presentations had this, she was very interested in Japanese culture, and she had this element, that sort of refined styling. And I was there one day, I think for birthday lunch, and she had three little tiny cups of soup, clear. And they were almost like shot glasses, except the sides were straight rather than sloped. And just three different soups that you picked up and drank. And it was just, it was so beautiful and so good. One was a gazpacho. I think it was a white gazpacho. I think there was a chilled sweet pea soup. And then a very intense mushroom broth.
Oh, nice.
And it was just so simple. So I love that idea of a shot of soup.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to start, and kind of a lot of times people don't want a full bowl of soup, and you know, that's on our
prefix
menu.
A bowl
menu,
of soup is a commitment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's like, if I get French onions, you have the most amazing onion soup. Oh, it's unusual, and it is so good.
And we try to put our own little twist on it with using hard cider instead of cognac or.
And the crepe.
Yeah, we put a buckwheat crepe in. Uh-huh. Well, we take some buckwheat crepes and crisp them up in the fryer, actually, to make like a crouton, if you will. And then we put that on the top, and then we gratin it with the Gruyere cheese on top. So it kind of makes a savory sweet.
Yeah, it's real. First time I came to dinner there, I took a friend for his birthday, somebody who'd lived in France for a couple of decades. He got the soup, and I didn't. And I got one bite, and I swear I just wanted to bonk him over the head and take the soup.
Brian, have you heard of Pont à Vin? In Brittany?
Yeah.
Pont à Vin?
Yeah.
I studied painting there for 8 weeks one summer, and it's the heart of Paul Gauguin, country.
Oh,
and I remember going down to the small village there, and the art world always talks about that town, because apparently if you're still enough in the quiet of the evening, you can hear Paul Gauguin's clogs on the sidewalk. That's what they say. But I remember a buckwheat crepe with some kind of egg on the inside at some little cafe. I ate there almost every day, and it must have been a fairly standard
breakfast.
You find
them all over the place.
And it was delicious. So if I came to Bistro 29, could I have that again?
Yeah,
I taste
and
that?
Bring back the memories.
Yeah, really.
Can we hear Paul Gauguin's clogs?
You'll hear mine.
I have to confess, I didn't eat. And had I known that before coming on this show, I'm an idiot. the other thing I just wanted to chime in is this bringing up the economy, I think, is amazing, because we had a little bit of help from Go Local, who are new to our community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an amazing banner to be waving right now, which is Santa Rosa is growing up. We have a lot of great stuff here, from entertainment to food to art. Mm-hmm.
What Go Local is.
I don't actually know a whole lot about it, except I know that their mission is to keep the dollar bill in our community. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to Amazon, go to your local bookstore. It'll make it to a restaurant.
I have been beating that drum
since.
That's so much of what I do and what people, a lot of colleagues also do. And it seems to take a lot of talking and a lot of experiences to get that all the way embedded in someone.
Sure.
And then when it gets there, you can see it sort of go over a watershed. And I always like to tell the story. There was a farmer, and I'm not going to identify what kind of farmer, and I'll tell you, that's such a generic term, no one will be able to figure out who I'm talking about. And they were always sort of, why aren't they getting it from here? Why aren't they getting, and this was in the promotion of their particular product. And then they'd go to Costco to buy salmon, and this is at the peak of the when salmon coming in through Bodega Bay was doing, the industry was really strong. The salmon was great. And they just know we like to save money. And it's like, does your head hurt right now? Because it's like about to split open. And they couldn't see that dichotomy. They couldn't reconcile it. And sure, everybody has to watch their finances, but you know, I always say use Amazon, although it's changed a little bit now, and I'll explain why. Use Amazon for research, because they're really good for research. Mm-hmm. And then go spend the money at that really nice bookstore that you would like to stay a bookstore and not turn into Starbucks. Mm-hmm. It's really, and the one thing that Amazon is also good for now, which is different, for books that are out of print, they actually connect to local bookstores, which mm-hmm. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. But I found that out talking to Copperfields. Mm-hmm. When actually, I go online sometimes to order my books that are out of print, and I find that I can get a lot of them sometimes at Amazon, and I did, and it's like, wow, they all came from Copperfields. Mm-hmm. So there is that little thing, but still, use those kinds of things, you know, for research. The web is great for that. You forget the title. You can find out the title, and then you know, the same with music. Mm-hmm. iTunes is great. Elvis Costello mm-hmm. has a new album out, for example. You want it, if you haven't heard it on the radio, you go to iTunes, you listen to a couple songs. If you decide you want to buy it, who's your neighbor? Mm-hmm. You know, I have mm-hmm. my record store mm-hmm. that I drive to Santa Rosa, mm-hmm. and that's where I spend my money. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that just, it keeps, it keeps your neighbors.
And, you know, even what was a romantic trip to the city, and you can't beat that. But I'll tell you, I mean, you can. I mean, we're able to find it here with Bistro 29 and mm-hmm. great art, you know, on South A. And you can have a great walk on that amazing bike path and make the city yours. You know, it's mm-hmm. make it something people want to come to. We actually, in these South A events, I've actually heard people from San Francisco come down going, "This is amazing," you know. Yeah. So it does work
Absolutely.
In reverse as well.
Yeah, and you know, other towns in Sonoma County. Like I love Sebastopol for the fog, of course, yeah. but also there's so much public art. Mm-hmm. It's just everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I love that about some, you know, if I drive from my house a mile west and I drive into town, I know I'm going to smile three or four times just at seeing the public art that I already know is there mm-hmm. or because there's something new. Mm-hmm. And there was just, you know, there's the website, Wacko BB. Do you know? You know.
I just was turned on to this.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's all these conversations, and there was just a conversation about, is there too much junk art in Sebastopol? And someone posed the question that it was overdone and it was a bad thing, and oh my goodness, you should have read the response.
Right.
I mean, the community just rallied,
yes.
and there were long tributes Wonderful. To what, how the art made people feel, Patrick Amio's art in particular, and what that brings to the community. And, you know, and, well, I still think there's 3 months. And again, it's like, honey, calm down, you know, take a walk. This is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's just great to see the different communities, you know, in Sonoma County going public in that way.
Defining themselves.
Yeah, yeah. In a fun community-minded way that is inclusive rather than exclusive. Were you all around for the portal controversy? I don't think you were here yet, Mary. This was interesting. I think it must have been the late 90s. Do you remember it?
No.
Okay. There was, you know, they do the sculpture jams and things in Sebastopol. Someone I know, and I'm not going to think of his name right now, he made a door out of cement, and it was this very realistic door. The door wasn't flush with the frame. It was just, you know, cracked a little bit, and it was supposed to stand up, you know, so it was a portal, and you sort of think of it as a portal to another dimension, you know, a creative portal, but it was going to be too dangerous. It was too heavy for it to stand up. So if you're driving from on Highway 12 towards town, there's the fire station. The fire station has a little lawn in front of it, and they set the door there. Well, there's a church across the street and a school across the street from both. And somehow, the way I've heard it, the church got school kids to write letters to the Press Democrat talking about how seeing this door scared them and gave them nightmares because it was the door to hell. And it was this huge... I was so stunned by this. Mm-hmm. And finally, I wrote a column about it. Mm-hmm. I wrote a column... not about it, but I wrote a column so that I could include it, and I wrote a column about preserving, and at the end said something about, you know, and clearly that door in Sebastopol, first time I saw it, it's like, wow, a root cellar.
Well, this is,
and we don't have
so
many root cellars.
What's fantastic about public art, yeah. You know, I guess you don't notice it if it's not there, but when it's there, you do, and so when it's there, you begin to think, and you begin to have possibly to have nightmares, but better to have nightmares and a brain that's working and a creative imagination that's going because that art is sitting there.
A lot of art does lead to hell, by the way.
But also, one of the things I found so interesting is, to me, it really said something about California geography. The fact that, first of all, the church would see it that way and would be able to scare the school kids. It's like, this would never happen, I don't think, in the Midwest. I mean, we, for the most part, don't have basements. We don't have root cellars in California. So to me, that was just so interesting that there's this whole way that people used to preserve things and relied on it during the months when they were snowed in. Yeah. We don't get snowed in California or in coastal California. So I just thought that whole thing and the reason a controversy like that could arise here, I thought it was fascinating, all triggered by this sculpture jam.
But like Mary said, you're a thinker. You're thinking about it. You know, a lot of people just get scared. I don't know.
A door is a loaded metaphor.
Oh, boy.
Apparently it is. Apparently it is. So we've got about 6 minutes left here. So let's talk a little bit more about the Imaginists now. You said original creations, but
original
also
theater,
original adaptations.
Yep.
So you'll take, like you took the Hamlet.
Right?
Other things in the works, other adaptations that you're thinking about?
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, actually.
Oh, really?
that's one of them. We do a lot, you know, we do a lot with puppetry. We do pretty much, you know, theater is one of those things. I've been doing original theater now for 20 years, and it's one of those things where I think that a lot of people, they usually put about 5% of what theater can handle in the theaters, in the confine of a theater, and we're trying to put, you know, 100, because the theater can pretty much house everything. I mean, every art form can be there. And so it's really about breaking down all those boundaries and, you know, not doing away with the stage, you know, flexible seating, everything. I mean, we've had things on tour where you actually come in and ride in a wheelchair, like a ride, like a dark ride in Disneyland, you know. We've done all sorts of things, taking theater to that next level.
So you mean
level.
Like Monsanto, the old Monsanto?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Wow.
Let's not do Monsanto any favors by plugging them. But,
no, but that no, ride, but, that, yeah, that ride was the best thing Monsanto ever
Absolutely.
Did.
Absolutely. So like, and that's actually, one of them was modeled after that very ride.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. I have something you have to hear. There's a woman did a spoken word piece called Monsanto. Her name was Patience Gorman. And I have this collection of spoken word pieces. And she does this, like, 7-minute thing on what Monsanto meant to teenagers in Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And it is so why I play it on my music show sometimes. It's one of my favorite spoken word pieces. It's the land of sex and drugs, Monsanto. And she describes it really well.
I was just a tad too young, darn it.
And I live too far. I live too far away. It was all after the fact that I heard this.
I know.
So how do people see
what we do?
You do?
You know, just to keep up with expenses, we have to have a show about every month. So it's not hard. Whether it's a youth show, which, you know, I really like to get people to come, because a lot of people hear children's theater, and of course they run in fear, but we do it quite differently, and it really is amazing that you can sit down and watch kids who aren't your own create art, and they have a hand in the creation 120%. So it's not like we're telling them where to go and what to do and what to talk like. I mean, they have ownership. And so it's a very different process, and on up into the adult theater, and then we start bringing in our teens to apprentice with us, with our professional theater. And hopefully what the thing does is just start creating a circle so that the teens will start creating or teaching the younger kids. And it'll just go around, and it'll become a fully functioning sort of education program that way. But
you do shows at the location on South A.
That's right.
And do people get information about that?
Excuse me, I skipped a W. Three
it's
W's.
Okay. We all know that.
Theimaginists.org. And that's imaginists with that S on the end, .org.
Theimaginists.org. And that's so you'll have your schedule and what's coming
up. That's right. Yeah,
and
it's all
can
there.
Can people find out about the classes and
yes,
everything?
Yes, absolutely. And all summer long, we're going to be on this bike tour. So, you know, we might just come to you. I mean,
oh, wow. But,
we're going to be going to farmers markets, parks, labor centers. Yeah, so we're
going to... Are you going to post a schedule? Or,
yeah, you know, we'll probably...
Can you at least tell me? So if you're going to be at a farmer's market,
absolutely.
I can tell people.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of a schedule forming soon. I mean, it'll take shape. I know that July 5th, we're going to try to... I think that's the right date. The Bike Coalition lands in Juilliard Park, and we're going to try to make a date there. So, a big
that's
bike.
That's the day before my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. So if I forget.
You know, it'd be a fun thing to do for me.
So anyway, yeah, that'll kick us off into the summer.
And so that's theimaginists.org. What about Bistro 29? Tell it. Do you have a website?
We do. We have www.
Really, you don't have to say W's anymore.
Bistro29.com. That's 29.
And do you have your menus and everything?
We have our menus there. We need to get our most current menu on there right now. We just changed.
But. Are you open? I know you're open for dinner. How many nights a week?
We're open Tuesday through Saturday for dinner starting at 5 and for lunch on Fridays only.
Lunch on Fridays only?
11:30 to 2.
And then,
Friday,
4 to 6.
4
to 6.
Yeah.
And what's the address?
It's 620 Fifth Street.
Okay, 620 Fifth Street. It's the former home of Cafe Lolo.
Yeah, right across from Gary Chew's. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
And we have our menu, and we also... Twitter now also.
Yeah. I'm leaving that one alone for now. Yeah. It's like I get too many emails and too many phone calls. Why do I want something else I have to feel guilty about not getting to? You know, maybe someday. Mary, you have a great website.
Thank you.
And is it Mary Linnea Vaughn?
It would just be under Mary Vaughn.
Okay,
but
Mary
the trick
Vaughn.
Is my name is Welsh, not German. So it's VAUGHAN. MaryVaughn.com will also, you certainly can look at my paintings, but it'll also, you know, there'll be a link to the events on A Street. We also have a blog, South A Blog, which is South A Arts.blogspot.com.
That's completely
so
awesome.
So glad there wasn't a backslash because
yeah. Well, that's really great. And I do have to tell people, Mary, and you, Mary, your art's, I'm one of your biggest fans. Your art's exquisite. And it just keeps going in so many interesting directions. And there's little connections with food or, you know, with fruits, with vegetables. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really encourage anyone who's listening to check you out and to go to South A Street if you get a chance. It is next Friday night, 5 to 8 p.m., $10 gets you a whole night of entertainment. And we think you can even park downtown and catch the shuttle, which will take you there. And on that note, we are out of time. Next week, we have the chef from the newly revamped Timber Cove Inn. So meet me back here for Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. Have a great week.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes. Dinner, dinner, dinner,